terms of maybe we just start by Melechus Zora, here the book was never. Okay, since we're wrapping up Simon Shin Chaf, Talmidim HaYikarim made of the Ha'ara. So before we even get to the end of Simon Shin Chaf, so I just wanted to share with you a couple of points. First of all, Rabbi Nissim Rabbi Yisrael pointed out to me something I've always glossed over from Rabbi Nevin Sal, and that is that Rabbi Nevin Sal points out that the Egle Tal that we have learnt, that said that when it comes to the Isser of Dash, that it's going to be defined by those things that are done besada versus those things that are done b'shas achila. That's the lashon of the Egle Tal, b'shas achila. So Rav Nemetzal took that Egle Tal literally, and he understands that the heter that we learned, that those things that you generally don't do besada are going to be mutter, is only going to be mutter mamish b'shas achila. So this is in one of your older booklets. You'll take a look where we saw other opinions from Rav Nemetzal, where he quotes Egle Tal. That's how he understands it. I mentioned to you a slightly different havana that says that what's the derech to do the besada versus what's derech done to do b'bayis. And I think the Shisas HaShabbos is a little bit closer to that. Well, even the Egle Tal's shot is not mukhlak. And the nafkamina is going to be whether you need to do it mamish b'shas achila or not. So last week I tried to convince Rav Nemetzal that the way he understood it is mukhruch and Egle Tal, but there might be other ways of understanding it. And particularly we saw Rav Willig pointed out that the paradigm of the Gemara Beitz of Yugimla Mabez is Kvias Maestros. So that seems to be just a question of whether you're in the Sada versus the Bias as opposed to Derech Achila. Rav Nemetzal wasn't so happy with me that I was trying to make this machlokas between the Egle Tal and Shisas HaShabbos. He said, what I think I said already, the Hainu that he thinks that the heter that you have from the Egle Tal is only b'shas achila, which comes out that Rav Nemetzal uses this Egle Tal l'chumra. If Lania's daiti, my Rebbe's reading is correct, mukhruch and Egle Tal. I'm not sure that everybody would agree with that chumra. Rav Nemetzal himself thought that was the pash just like his chumra. Number two. I'm following along on the cover sheet of the booklet. Number two, in regards to the Igros Moshe, so we had left off a little bit of question of how to read the Igros Moshe, and David had a good question, so I just want to go back to that. The Igros Moshe, when he says that there's a heter to use the tissue to wipe along on the table, so he said that there are two heterim, a tartzal tzivusa. So the question was, what was that tartzit musa? David asked, well, and then Ben explained afterwards the pshat. I'm just quoting from the Talmudim. That if you look back in Ramesh's Lashon, Ramesh said, Kivan de'ena b'toch kli, began de'ein derech l'schol mayim in your class. So Ramesh's tartzit musa is that at the end of the day, the water, like seyar, is not trapped inside anything, and therefore is only a din d'rabbanan. And number two is that the niyar is not omeg l'sklita, and therefore is going to mutter. That's the tart of the tibusa that Ramosha was referring to. That was what we got stuck a little bit last time on. Finally, I told you I wasn't sure how the hard sviz tart of the tibusa works. So Yosef and Ramati helped me out on that the hard sviz in the end of Simin Kuf Sadi, when he's matir, it seems like the hard sviz wasn't assuming that it was a psik ratio that it was going to come out of the tissue, even though it seems at first glance that he did discuss psik ratio. At that point, he's not assuming that way. And the way to read the Hart Svinis conclusion is that since the niyar is not omed l'tzlita, says best the rabbanan, so then you don't have the gzeira that we spoke about on Yom HaKippur, and that we're afraid he's going to put it against him. So those were three issues that came up in Seder that I just wanted to clarify. Okay, we're now up to Simin Shin Chaf. Sif Yud Tes in regards to Sviya Ba'ochel. If you want, Yaakov, we could already start recording now. This will be, I hope, clear if anybody's jumping in. Simin, thank you. Simin Shin Chaf Sif Yud Tes. What we're going. I think it's Nana. So in Simin Shin Chaf Sif Yud Tes, the Mechaber says as follows. Litin Karkam Betavshil Mutter. That one is allowed to put a spice into a tavshil. Now this karkam also added a color. And you don't have to be concerned in regards to tzviya. The ain tzviya ba'ochlin, because there is no tzviya ba'ochlin. Now the reason why the mechaber is bringing this up is presumably because of the hemshech in sif chaf. We're going to deal the continuation of what we've been discussing previously, and that is Psik Resha Delo Nichalei. The Mechaber and Sifchaf, I think so. Thank you. The Mechaber and Sifchaf says as follows: Yeshmi Sha'omer Sha'ochel Tusim Oshar Peres Hatzovim. There's some people who say that one is allowed to eat strawberries, and when you eat the strawberries, that's not a problem. But Sarech Lizaher Shlo Yiga B'Yadav Tzvos B'Vgadav. You have to be careful that if your hands are going to be dyed with the red of the strawberry, that it's going to dye the gadim. And there you have a problem of Sviya. So since we get involved with Sviya in the context of Psik Resha Delo Nichale, the Mishnah Berurah points out in Sif Kata Nun Zayin, Haimelah Poskim Le'il B'Sif Yud Ches the Psik Resha Delo Nichale Aser, Afal Gadim Mekal Kulu, Mekal Mokum Yisur Miyu Ika. So here the Mechaber decided to discuss this Shaila of Tzviya, and once he discusses Tzviya in regards to touching the garment, where clearly you're not interested in making your white shirt reddish, so that's a Psik Resha Delo Nichale, and it's a Durabbanan, nevertheless, the halacha is Tzarech Li'Zoher. So of course this is one of the absolute Hechreichim, that the Mishnah Berurah is Machmir on a Psik Resha Delo Nichale, and here we have two halachas. Number one, this halacha about being careful that one's hands are nitzpa to make sure not to be tzoveya a beget. We're going to need to define that. And then we have halacha yutes in regards to putting karkam betavshil, because we have this carte blanche rule of ein tzviya ba'ochlin. So let's follow, go in order. First do b'siyata d'shmaya sif yutes, and then go on to sif chav. In regards to ein tzviya ba'ochlin, so this in itself is quite a debate. The Be'er Halacha already, Kedarko v'Kodesh, gets us to the crux of the debate, and he says, "Ayin b'nishmas adam shemefakpei k'tzas be'etzem adim." This question that there's no tzviya ba'ochlin is not pashut at all. What does it mean, ein tzviya ba'ochlin? What's the chat behind this shibole halakit? So I'm sure you saw it in the Beis Yosef. The Shulchan Aruch is quoting it properly, that for some reason, when it comes to the Yisur of Tzviya, it doesn't apply in regards to Oakland. So, aside from trying to understand this, we need to deal with the kasha that Nishmas Adam asks. The Gemara on Ayin Hey says, Shofet Mishum Mai Chayiv. Why is Shofet Chayiv? So, Rav Omer Mishum Tzoveya. You're being Tzoveya. What's the Tzviya? The blood marks the fur of the animal by its neck. So we see that even though it's ochal, it's prone, it's susceptible to the iser of tzviya. So this is a strong question that the nishmas adam asks. So let's take a look at the nishmas adam. It's in our booklet. Nishmas adam is towards the beginning. It's on the first page, yeah, right after the cover page. Kasva Shulchan Aruch, Avdalad Hei. Kasva Shulchan Aruch, Ein Tzviya Ba'ochlin, V'nira Lidil Fize, Efshe Demut Alitan Karkin L'Tavsh, Afadash Shet Tavshin L'Stadeh. V'gan L'Fize, Mut Alitan Karkin L'Mayim, Mashe Tzarek L'Afila, D'may Shna. V'chol Zer Tzarek Yun Godol L'Ni Yizdaiki. V'yeh Shlomer, Kiva L'Deryach B'Tzvo, V'karkin L'Kule Alma Asur. That could very well be that everybody is going to hold that it's Asur, because the Derech is to do it. So, who is the Mekel? So we saw the Shibole Aleket. The Nishmas Adam says, I'm not sure at all whether it's going to be Mutter. And he quotes a Chacham Tzvi, who is the biggest Mekel. If you take a look in Oz Gimel, and this will give us the Svara First, we're going to start. The Chacham Tzvi is the most lenient of all the shitas. Kedai to look up the whole tshuva of the Chacham Tzvi. I decided that we would see it through the eyes of Nishmas Adam. At the bottom of Gimel, the tshuva of Chacham Tzvi kasav da filu the rab that shochet chaynishim selveya da haynu davke b'shochet kivam da aser b'achila shayech be tzviya. Masha ein kein ba'ochlin d'mutarin b'achila. When it comes to shochet, since the animal is aser b'achila, so then it's going to be aser. However, if it's something that's eaten, right, you can't eat that animal on Shabbos. It's got to be cooked. That you can't do on Shabbos. So then, in such a case, then you're going to have an iser of tzoveh. But anything that could be eaten, so then it's going to be mutter. What's that svara? We still haven't gotten to the core svara of the biggest mekilim of Ein Tzvi Ba'Ochlin. So here the Nishmas Adam quotes the punchline of the Chacham Tzvi. The Efshar Dafka B'Shochet Chayim. The Havik Kedavar HaMaskayim. The Nichalei Sheikayim Ad Sheyim Kara Basa. In general, it's good for the seller who sells the animal to show that the animal was killed in the appropriate way, that the blood came out from its neck. So then in such a case, there's a good tzvia. That's going to be a tzvia that you're interested in. Aval karkum b'tashol she'ena nosein rak lechol alter ve'en lecha ena miskayim yoser mizeh. That's the critical line in the Har Tzvi. The Har Tzvi says, as I was talking with Avraham, really a musar shmuz. And that is that ochel really doesn't stay ochel very long. You could dress up ochel all you like. You could charge $300 a plate for a fancy piece of meat in a restaurant. At the end of the day, ochel is not very attractive an hour later, 2 hours later, 3 hours later. At the end of the day, ochel is not miskayim. And therefore, tzviya is not considered chashuv on an ochel. So this is the Chacham Tzvi, who's the biggest of the mekilim. The Nishmas Adam himself is not going to like this, doesn't like this Chacham Tzvi. But Kedarko B'Kodesh, he quotes the Chacham Tzvi, and he says it could be that this is a decent svara. The svara being that at the end of the day, it's not miskayim. So this is the most lenient opinion that we're going to have. We'll see that the Mishnah Brura doesn't really, is going to be a middle opinion. He's not going to go with the Chacham Tzvi at itself. He's going to be choshesh here and there for the Nishmas Adam. But the Nishmas Adam has the Chacham Tzvi has a fascinating svara, and that is Ein Tzvi Ba'Ochlin. You can't do anything halachically significant to an ochel. It's not a davar hamiskayim. The goal for it is to be eaten, and therefore it's going to be in gansin moter. The Mishnah Brura, moving over, let's assume that the Mekel, we will call it the left. So the moving over, going from left to right, so the Mishnah Brura goes with the, it's choshesh for the position of the Nishmas Adam. So let's take a look at the Mishnah Brura. So katan nun vav, and you test, v'chein mutter liten yayin adam besoch yayin lavan, just like we learned that to put karkum into a tavshul is going to be mutter, so too as well to put red wine into white wine, afal pisha misadin, even if though it's going to become red. So the Mishnah Brura paskins that one would be allowed to put red wine into white and making it red. Even if your intention is to change the color, this is the understanding of the Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim is close to the Chacham Tzvi. I decided not to do the Prima Gadim inside. Take a look and see if Kachan Tafei. Close to the Chacham Tzvi, not exactly the Chacham Tzvi, Ayin Shom. Ufima Shikasa Nishmas Adam, Nachalim Noam Mizeh. However, the Nishmas Adam comes out of the Chumra. Now, Lania's Daiti, this is the Mahalach of the Mishnah Brura throughout the Sefer. My Rebbe, Rav Nevin Zal Shlita, is a little bit more machmir, it seems, even Bedas HaMishnah Brura. But Lania's Daiti, this is the Mahalach of the Mishnah Brura. And that is, that Mi'ikr Dedina, Shulchan Aruch, were Mekel with Harkom. Really, Mi'ikr Dedina, it sounds like he holds Ein Tzviya Ba'ochlim. But, at the end of the day, he gives an honorable nod to the Nishmas Adam. What's the nod in Halacha to Nishmas Adam? Not just because the Chai Adam was a great posek, but the nod is based on a beautiful svara that the Nishmas Adam has. In Siv Gimel, after we have the position of the Chacham Tzvi, the Nishmas Adam himself is machmir. Nishmas Adam says, wait a second. Maybe it could very well be, Ein Tzviya Ba'ochlin only applies to those instances where you're adding a spice, you're adding something to the food, because you're not really interested in the color change. If you're interested in the color change, then the halacha will be entirely different. So, says in the Shmas Adam, it depends. Why are you putting the charkom in? If you're putting in the charkom because you simply want the spice inside and it changes the color, so then in such a case, we say, ein tzviya ba'ochlin. In other words, halachically, it's not significant. It's not of a significant nature. However, if you're putting it in because you want to change the color, we'll give a couple of examples. The Nishmas Adam's example is a seller, somebody who's selling the item. So then in such a case, says the Nishmas Adam, it could very well be that the halacha is that it is usher. Hence, we now understand pshat in the Mishnah Berurah. When the Mishnah Berurah says, so he's being mechalik between the case of where he's mechavin lechatchil lasus mara. So why are you putting the food item in? Why are you putting the drink in? If you're putting the drink in because you want to change the color, then ein hachanami, we would say there is tzvia ba'ochlin. We say it's ein tzvia ba'ochlin when you're doing it derech achil. That's the basic svara of the nishmas adam. In regards to what is the actual halacha according to the Mishnah Berurah, so Rav Nemtzal Shlita has a few references to the Mishnah Berurah's psakim in other places. Let's take for example, the Mishnah Berurah is later on in Shin Yud Aleph, that's Yud Aleph in the Shulchan Aruch, Shin Yud Aleph, Yud Aleph. There, you know, let's first start, keep your finger on that, but let's first start with Shin Yud Ches Samachay. In Shin Yud Ches Samachay, Samachay being the Sharetzim, Shin Yud Ches Samachay, there, the Mishnah Berurah was discussing making tea. And the Mishnah Berurah talks about the way to do it appropriately in terms of bishul. And he comments that in the Sharet Zion, what should you put in first? Should you put the scents into the water or the water into the scents? If you would put the essence into the water, so then you'd be doing soveya on the tea. So comments the Sharet Zion. But often zeh tov yoser shi'ore amayin l'tocha essence. That you should be careful to put the water inside the scents and not the inverse, because there's some who are choshesh litzviya. Rav Nemtzal Shlita understands that the Mishnah Berurah came out that one should be choshesh lechumra. That was the final psak of the Mishnah Berurah. Hence, Rav Nemtzal is quite a machmir. In fact, when I was learning the sif, I remember the exact, or I wrote down the exact lashon. I said to him that your choshesh mut a lot for the sifshita nishmas adam, and he said correct that he is choshesh for the nishmas adam ad asel, to the point that Rav Nemtzal on Shin Yudalid Yudalith in the Beitzchak Yikare there mentions a famous shaila. We're not going to get involved in the details of it right now, but in regards to what's put inside the toilets that changes the color of the water. So in such a case, there Rav Nemtzal comes out with chumrah, and he makes reference to this shita that says that there would be tzvi even by water, and we don't assume like the Chacham Tzvi that there's no halakhic significance of a change. The Chacham Tzvi assumes that not only by food, but even by water, even water that's used for netilas yadayim. Fascinating custom that Sfaradim had is that they add rosebuds and sometimes even spices that change the color of the water for netilas yadayim for the kohanim. The fascinating thing. So the Chacham Tzvi discusses both in terms of whether that's appropriate for netilas yadayim for the kohanim, A, and then in regards to tzviya on Yom Tov. The Chacham Tzvi comes out with kula on both of them. So Rav Nemtzal quotes that Rav Shlomo Zalman himself was concerned about this chash, and he here in the Yitzchak Yikare they put it together on this issue that Rav Nemtzal is choshesh for the shita of the nishmas adam. Now this yisod, the Rav Nemtzal is machmir, is actually a yisod gadol in terms of how to understand the heter entirely of ein tzviya ba'ochlin. And I would say that Rav Nemtzal Shlita's mahalach is further to the right of the Mishnah Berurah, is more, even more machmir than the pashtus of the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah just said that when you have a case in which a person is doing it because he intentionally wants to change the color, then it's a maisat svia. Otherwise, you have the heter of ein svia ba'ochlin. Rav Nevensal understands that when it comes to food, the heter of ein svia ba'ochlin, the heter we're going to see also ein mimareach ba'ochlin, is based on the idea that it's all called one maisa achila. It's all part of a derech achila. All part of it is a process of derech achila. Rav Nevensal's example of when it says ein mimareach ba'ochlin is that when you're spreading peanut butter on top of a piece of bread, you might say, wait a second, maybe that's a shalom amareach. No, that's called derech achila, that's going to be mutter. That Rav Nevensal understands, probably based on the Nishmas Adam, is this halacha as well. This halacha of ein sviya ba'ochlin means that there's a heter of derech achila. Therefore, let's talk about mimareach. Rav Nevensal holds that if a housewife makes the hummus nice, by spreading it out, by making it a particular design, he holds that's a shayla of a doraisa. He holds it's a doraisa. Why? Because the whole heter is a heter of derech achila. The Mishnah Berurah, I don't know if there's necessarily any mashmos of this. The inklings of it is the position of the Nishmas Adam that the Mishnah Berurah was sort of choshesh for, that nachon l'chachila to be choshesh. Rav Nevensal says that all these heterim of Ochum, in Svia Bochum, in Mareach Bochum, are all heterim of Derech Achila. If that would be so then in such a case, when a person is dressing up the Ochel for it to look nice, then that's for sure not Derech Achila. When you're dressing it up, he argues that's not called Derech Achila, and therefore he holds that's a Shaila of Adoraisa. So according to the Hart, the Eretz, the Chacham Tzvi, Lav Tzvi Zubimani. According to Chacham Tzvi, so therefore, that what would we say? That you could put artificial flavoring, artificial color into water, and then in such a case, it will also be mutter. There's no chashivas, it's not miskayim. According to Rav Nevensal, no. If you put artificial coloring into water, it could very well be an iser da'oraisa. Because this whole idea of ein miskayim is not what's playing. What's at play is the heter of derech achila. Visa mahti, plein neder. Showed to Rav Nevensal, I hope this week, that I found, thanks to Dirshu, that, take a look at Dirshu 59, that the Stifler said this exact story. Maybe he heard this from the Stifler, maybe he knows this from the Stifler. But this is the Stifler's Havanin. In 59, you take a look, two things. First of all, it's a Mefurishatosis Riv, that paskins that there's Sviya Ba'ochlin, that's Aleph. They quote the Chacham Tzvi that rejects it. The Tosfos Rid brings a riot from that case in Shabbos. So it turns out that the Nishmas Adam was mechaving to that riot from Ayin Heyam Abayz. And the Stipler himself gives this svara. He says the sugya over there of Ein Tzvia Ba'ochlin, because the Tzvia was not done, is only done l'shem tikuna ochel. So too the Stipler wants to answer the same regards to Shechita, that over there this was all the part of getting you to Achila. You're not interested in creating a stain on the fur. So then in such a case, then we're going to say Ein Tzvia Ba'ochlin. However, if you're intentionally making the food or the water colorful because you have a particular purpose for that you want to, there's a tachlis aferis, reading the Dirshu's words. The Stipler is echoes of Rav Nevensal's idea. I don't know if the Stipler will be as machmir as Rav Nevensal. It's not mukhra that he'd be as machmir as Rav Nevensal, but it's definitely this idea that it's not a din in the ochel, it's not in the din in the tzoveya, that it's not subject to tzvi at all, but rather it's dependent on the circumstance. If the circumstance is that you're using it with derech achila, so then in such cases, no chalof shame of tzvia. Meidach isa, if it's outside of Derech Achila, Rav Nevensal is machmir. Bottom line from the Mishnah Berurah is that I would argue that the Pashtus of the Mishnah Berurah is not that way. Pashtus of the Mishnah Berurah is a little bit more meikel. Even though the Mishnah Berurah himself, in Shin Yud Ches Siv Katan Samachay, it's clear, if you look at the context, he's been choshesh for other chumras of the Ya'aris HaTvash, of Rabbi Yonasan Eberschitz in regards to tea. And over there he says, you should know that there are some who are machmir in regards to the So I'm not chassidically disagreeing with my Rebbe. All I'm pointing out is that I think that the pashtus is that the Mishnah Berurah would be a little bit more lenient, and Lav Davka is that Havana Mukhrot in the Mishnah Berurah. So the Derech HaMelech would be to follow the Mishnah Berurah, the Derech HaMelech being that if a person is changing the color of the wine because they simply want to change it, in such a case it's nachon la'achmir, like the shita of the Nishmas Adam. Otherwise it would be ein svi'a ba'ochlin. Rav Nevenzel, based on his more bummer position, just completely asers on the night of Pesach. He just says, the night of Pesach, we know that the Rishonim will hold that in general in Kiddush you need to have red wine as opposed to white wine. On Pesach there's another svara also, to zocher the dam. So therefore, there are some who have prefer white wine. They would add a little bit of red to color wine. So Rav Nevenzel doesn't mention all in svi'a ba'ochlin. He says, period, not to do that. That seems to be al pi shita. So that's choshish for the nishmas adam. What's that? No. My ha'ara is that he didn't. The Mishabura just says that there. Mishabura seems to paskin meikar dedina like the mekilim, and then he just says nachon lemnoah. That's very different than the way my Rebbe says in Agad. He just says Sarva Parsha, that's Aser. Doesn't even mention Mekil. I think the Mishnah Berurah is a little bit more of Mekil than
is there a case that should be made
on the Nafkamina is going to be whether the Mishnah Berurah would be agree with my Rebbe Yischom in regards to the Mamareach. That would be Nafkamina.
Why?
Because you don't see
that just for the sake of the look, I want Mishnah Berurah to say.
Right. In other words, this is the Mishnah Berurah was only machmir in regards to the Nishmas Adam, that if your intention is to do it tzaveya, then in such a case, that whole mamdus you don't have. You don't have that in the Mishnah Berurah. There's no record at all of that. It's not that he introduces any more svaris that precede. Renemzal Shlita is adding more of a svara, a new svara, in terms of this whole idea of Derech. Sviva Ochlin, only if it's in the process of Achila. In other words, if you're adding a spice to the food and you know it's going to change the color, but your motivation is, we do this all the time. In our house, we drink crystallite, right? So you put the crystallite in and you're changing the color, then I think even Rav Nevenzel would be makel. Because clearly you're doing it not because you want to change the color, you're doing it for the taste. We were choker in the Beis Medrash that Coke, when they tried to make clear Coke, it didn't work. So then you see from here, that's not just in the additive changes, but I think at the end of the day, that's not going to be kovei the halacha. Now, as most people, when they add crystallite, they would drink the crystallite whether it changes, if they're drinking the punch, whether it changes to red or not. It's true that people prefer the color change as well, but I don't even think with Nansel, it's not going to be. Yes? L'chura. In other words, I think so, because it's not Borer or Dash. And L'chura, I think it would be mutter, even though you're right, that the heter itself is Derech Achila. It would seem to me that the elongated, there would be elongated Derech Achila would also be acceptable. Yesh L'falta. Yeah?
Would it be any different for that white line?
Oh, very good. The Eitza of the Eitza might be, as the Mishnah Berurah said, if you're stuck with the red wine and the white wine, and you like to have a color red, would be to invert it, to take the white wine, and even if you have mostly white wine, a little bit of red, and that's enough to change the color. So if you poured a lot of white into red, and then in such a case, there are poskim who recommend that. I believe Rav Nevenzel is make also in such a case, but I'm not positive. We should verify. Okay, issue number two that comes up was the issue of psik reisha de lo nichale, which we were machmir on, which comes out a tremendous chumra. I remember the first time when I was young learning this halacha, this sounded like to me a wild chumra. That is in sifkaf. Again, that the mechaber said that if you're eating strawberries and your hands are red, so in such a case, you can't touch the napkin because the napkin is going to. By the way, let's be precise. This is going to be important, as they say in the world. In halacha, we probably use a different term, but they say the devil's in the details. So here, let's be as precise as possible in the mechaber. The mechaber said, "Shelo yiga b'yodat slos b'vgodav o b'mato," not to touch his clothing, his white shirt, to be careful, or not to touch a tablecloth. So let's just pound out the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat Nuntes. The Mishnah Berurah says, "Uveveged Adom Kol Shekein Gasul Kainchol." The Misakinu. If it's a red garment, so then in such a case it makes it worse because it is sharpening the red. By the way, it would seem to me, I didn't see anybody spell it out this time around, but if it was a blue suit, so then in such case you're creating a stain, then the chura, the kule alma, that would be fine. For whatever reason, or a blue napkin. Let's say it's a hotel napkin, a cloth napkin. So a blue napkin, l'chura, would be mutter l'kuli alma. Red would be problematic. A whitish color would be problematic because you're being sovea. But if it's a color that would only produce a stain, and this happens sometimes, right? You have colored cloth napkins. So then in such a case, that would be l'chura mutter according to everybody. The Mishnah Berurah, what's that?
So stain on white.
So that we're going to discuss. That at the end of the day, so it goes like this. When you have red on white, so you're dyeing the white red. You're right, Shai, that at the end of the day, it's a psikresha de lo nichale. But we're pointing out that's a psikresha de lo nichale and a derabanan. So you're right. He doesn't want it on his shirt. In contrast, this is what I'm arguing with Ulai, in contrast to a colored, if he's wearing a blue shirt, or if he's using a colored napkin, so then in such a case, then that would not even, you haven't dyed anything. In contrast to white or a light color, then you've dyed. Let me ask that, that's what comes out. Now there's another sad to be made, though. The Mishnah Berurah says, the Yesh Mekilim calls that, yes, Sam?
What's the difference between wearing a white shirt and a blue shirt? You don't want to do
So when you have how's a white shirt, how's a blue shirt made blue? The answer is that it started off as white cotton, and then they dyed the cotton. So white is a term for this in English. White is a non-color, right? It's nothing, and it's susceptible to tzviya. Something that's already colored. So then it's not susceptible to it's true, he doesn't want it, that's called the psikresha de lo nichale and mekalkel that the Mishnah Berurah already pointed out in Sifkat and Chav. That's not called dying, correct, that's not called dying. If it's already been dyed, it's not called dying. That is Libi Omerli. Could be I once saw this Svara, it seems to me to be a pasha to Svara, let me know if you see anybody that says yes or no. The Mishnah Berurah continues, V'yish mekilin b'chol zeh, summer mekil, kivan shu derech lichluch, since it's derech lichluch. Now here we have something quite exciting. Again, the Chatam Tzvi is mekil, the Chiddush Rabbi Kiva Eger quotes this, the Radvaz is mekil. What's exciting over here is you have Halacha Pesukim and Shulchan Aruch, and yet the Mishnah Berurah quotes many who are mekil. And he seems to leave off. He says, so this is a collector's item where the poskim said they don't understand where this came from, this sheet of the Urayim. In other words, what does it mean they don't understand? They say that even though it should be Asur Atsoveya, your Svara Sami. And that is, at the end of the day, it's Derech Lichluch. In other words, Chaloshein Soveya, it's not the Heter Psik Reishol Nichole. If it had a Chaloshein Soveya, then even if it's Lo Nichole, it's going to be Asur. But, here, it's derech lichluch. It's not called a maisit salveya. Maisit salveya is when you go through the appropriate process of the taking the dye, etc., etc. Over here, you're not doing a maisit salveya. If you're not doing a maisit salveya, so then in such a case, it's going to be mutter. The chura, the question is, what were the machmirim thinking? So it seems like that they hold that at the end of the day, even if you don't have a maisit salveya, if it's in the chetza, it creates a change that would be tzoveya. And yes, the color from berries are very, very strong. And in theory, if you wanted to change the color of your shirt, then that would be an effective way of being tzoveya. And therefore, the halacha would be that it's considered tzoveya. So that's the chakira. Is it a din in the maisa of tzoveya? Or you look at the chayfetz. At the end of the day, you change the color, you have to be choshesh yesh lizar, and you see, on psik resh al nichalei smafurish, that one would be mach. To say that it would be Asr?
Derech Lichluch,
that is the Radvaz and the Chacham Tzvi. That's Mishnah Berurah gives us the references in Shaar Tzvi and Sifkat and Samachay. In regards to Halacha L'maisa, there is a very, very important Ha'ara that needs to be added that I think is missed by many. It was missed by me the first time I learned it, and I'm thankful to the Archa Shabbos. It's after the Shulchan Aruch Harav. It doesn't say Shulchan Aruch Harav. It says Hilchos Shabbos. We're going to go to Shulchan Aruch Harav. He was the one who taught me this Shulchan Aruch Harav. Shulchan Aruch Harav is a brilliant tour de force. By the way, anytime any part of my polemic, any misnagdim say that the Hasidim didn't know how to learn, or the Hasidim, or they weren't great in learning. The Shulchan Aruch Harav is this Shulchan Aruch Harav is just all they have to do is just read the Shulchan Aruch Harav. Baal HaTanya's Hachladish is a tour de force how the Baal HaTanya goes through the sugya. It's not in our Simen, it's in Simen Shin Beis. Again, I'm thankful to the Mutfi Shalom Don and the Arpa Shabbos for quoting the Baal HaTanya. It's a fantastic kedai to go through the whole piece. The Baal HaTanya in his Kuntras Akron Simen Shin Beis qualifies this halach, and he makes such a logical point. And he says, this chumrah, even the more stringent positions who hold that it would be subject to the din of tzviya, only say this halacha in regards to those items that are prone to tzoveya, that are subject to tzoveya. Those things that are not subject to tzoveya, so then in such a case, the iser would not apply. So, you have mekilim, who say derech lichluch. Even if the object itself is prone to tzoveya, if it's derech lichluch, it's not a maisa tzoveya. Says the Baal HaTanya, I could hear the other side. Despite Sammy's argument, I could hear the other side. At the end of the day, you were tzoveya, something that's subject to tzoveya. Blue shirts start off as white shirts. Yes, Eina Chanami, I know that they dye the wool before they make it into a shirt. But the cotton itself is prone to tzoveya. So that's the way it works. It doesn't matter whether you were nichalei, whether you were lo nichalei. But what would you say in regards to those items that are not prone to tzoveya? L'may nafkanina, a napkin. Is a napkin subject to this iser? So Aruch HaShabbos points out that if you take a look, the Baal HaTanya has a beautiful point. He says it's eight lines into the Kuntres Achron. V'gam ein derech ha'olam lachvotz v'klal. V'had the asu liga b'yod of tzvos b'mapa. Haynu mishum shehamapa. What's a mapa?
Tablecloth.
It's a tablecloth, right? A tablecloth darko b'tzviya. We have in our home some tablecloths that are white, and some tablecloths that are beige, and some tablecloths that are dark. So a tablecloth is subject to tzviya. A napkin is not, l'niyaz daiti, subject to tzviya. V'ilu ayosakein kishalot derech lichluch, ha'isam l'achla gemura, fayim besakein. By the way, you could be mefakted when I said by a napkin. I don't mean dafka napkin. You need to make a cheshbon of those things that the derech is to be tzoveya, those items. So those things that the derech is to be tzoveya those items, so then in such a case, then it wouldn't be subject to tzoveya. So it's not a davar pashut that everything that's white is automatically subject to tzoveya. Let's see how the Aruch HaShabbos, just a second, let's see how the Aruch HaShabbos says this. Yesha kasu lizar bazem mishum she tzoveya at hamitpachat. So wipe your hands on the mitpachat. So the Aruch HaShabbos points out in Peches, the last three lines, ulefi dvarim elu shebeget she'ein regilin letzovo ein bo iser yesh heter meruvah lekol adeos liten tachtoshet o ispalinid al gabe apetza. Machetet niyar is a tissue. Rak benesinas mitpachat kasav hayireim leesar. So he says a davar pashut. This is for Rav Tzvi, Rav Doctor Tzvi. He says davar pashut. Even for the machmirim, he says it would not be a problem to put a gauze pad on top of something that was bleeding, even though you would say even derech lichluch is not a problem, because a gauze pad is not. They haven't yet made gauze pads in colors for kids. Band-aids they've done on the outside, not on the gauze. So in such a case, it's not the derech to be tzaveh a gauze pad. So he says the kulei alma that Arthur Shabbos points out, the kulei alma is going to be mutter as based on the Shulchan Aruch Harav. A napkin, you can disagree with me. Menias daiti, I think there might be a lot of stud and lahakir when it comes to a napkin. Mikur Dedina, that there are many who are makel. Aleph. Beis is paper like that, is that prone to tzviya? Is it not prone to tzviya? So it is true that that they do make napkins that are colored napkins that I'm aware of. But at the end of the day, this type of material, once it's made into a white napkin, that one is generally not so bad. And you could argue a shirt is different. A shirt, even if once it's fashioned into a shirt, there are times that people are so bad they paint shirts. And so on and so forth. So there, tzviya, there is a derech to be tzoveya, even a shirt itself. When it comes to a napkin, I think there might be room to be mitzarif for the hakel. Either way, the Mishnah Berurah clearly came out the kula, that he said, yesh lisam of alim, hecha di efshu lo lizar bazeh. So in case of kavod abrios, etc., there's going to be room to makel. I think that there might be even room to makel with napkins based on the shulchan of a rabbi, yesh la'ayim. Okay. This
paper napkins.
Correct. Paper napkins. Not cloth napkins. Correct. Okay. Let's now the siyata d'shmaya begin the malacha of zorah. We've already pointed out that the Gemara in Shabbos on Ayin Gimel on the base learns that the malacha of zorah and malacha of borer are similar to each other. The point that the Gemara asks, why did we count them as three different malachos? Gemara in Ayin Gimel Bey says, Hainu Zora, Hainu Borer, Hainu Merate. We alluded previously, and now we'll develop a little bit more, that there's a machlokis rishonim that's going to affect the halachos of Zora, of how to read that Gemara. Of course, originally in the Maran Mekomos, I had put this, but since we had seen already, I didn't photocopy it again. We've already seen what the malacha of Zorah is. We saw it visually from Rav Rimon, that Zorah is when you winnow, you take the wheat and you throw it up to the air, and there it separates. So here, the Eglei Tal is medayik that Rashi and Rabbeinu Chananel learn Zorah and Borer differently. You can read it within the Eglei Tal that's in your booklet. Oz Gimel, the Malachas Zorah. So he points out that Rabbeinu Chananel and Rashi argue whether the malacha is going to define, their distinctions are going to be defined in the action, what's referred to, as we mentioned previously, the echos hapoel, or we look at it in terms of the effect on the item, which is called the echos hanifas. Let's read a few words of the Eglei Tal, Os Gimel, Zelosh and Rabbeinu Chananel b'sugya, im natal adam tvua b'tivna, upsola sheesh b'vinipach b'beruach piv, if a person takes wheat and he blows to separate, not only wind, ubira chashuv zoreya, that's going to be considered chashuv kizor, it's considered as if he's winnowing. Pirish borer notel psolos mibena ochel umashlicha o notel ochel umeniach psolos. So the many point out that Rabbeinu Chananel differentiates in terms of the echos hapoa, how one acts in those particular malachos. When it comes to zora, you use the wind. When it comes to borer, you use your hand to separate. He points out in Oz Dalet on the next page in the new edition of Eglei Tal, page Kufayin Aleph, that Rashi disagrees. Abel Rashi says the following. He says, the lo dami lezora bor merake, the zebikashin, when it comes to zora, there you're throwing up the husk to separate from the wheat, the zebitzroros, when it comes to borer, you're separating the rocks from the food. The chiluk is in what you're doing to the items. So this is lahagdil Torah la'adira. It's important for us to understand the basic malachos, but there is a nafkamina, and that is, this Eglei Tal suggests the following: im yavdil hamotz min habor al yidei kli gam ken yisayiv mishum zore. According to Rashi, if you use a kli to remove the husks, then that would not be borer, that would be zora. According to Rabbeinu Chananel, it's in the maisa. According to Rashi, it's going to be in the in the chafetz itself.
According to Rashi,
zora.
No,
according to Rashi, the point is whether you use a kli or not, it's what you're acting on. If you're acting on the tsroros, That's what you do in Borer, then you're going to be chayiv for Borer. If you're acting on the husks, then you're going to be chayiv for Zorah. So this is the first important conceptual difference between Zorah and Borer. There's really no nafkamina la halacha. It's going to be usher either way, but this introduces us to the fundamental question. What defines Zorah? What defines Borer? The next fundamental conceptual question is going to have profound nafkaminas la halacha. We saw in the Rishonim that what Zorah does is Zorah separates the psolas from the ocha. Our next issue, a halacha lamaisa, is going to revolve around whether Zorah, one could be over it without psolas. Is Zorah only when you're separating ocha from psolas, or will it apply even if there is no psolas? So the Chura, one could argue, I saw that there are some who argue this, that this might be dependent on Rabbeinu Hananel and Rashi. According to Rashi, all Zora, Bore, Merake, all have psolas in them, but they have different types of psolas. But if you don't have a psolas, Mehechi Tesi, there's going to be Nisr Zora. According to Rabbeinu Hananel, there's room to be choker. Now, it happens to work very beautifully, because we're going to learn, there's some who understand, Minchas Chinuch and others, that the Yerushalmi holds that you don't need to have psolas. And the Bavli, the Minchas Chinuch argues, holds that you do need to have psolas. Rabbeinu Hananel is well known as often following the Shitas HaYerushalmi. That's where you might have, here in Shurim, you might have heard it in a backwards way, that the Rambam often goes with Yerushalmi. The reason Rambam often goes to Yerushalmi is the Rambam was very much coupled to the Rabbeinu Hananel, because the Rambam was coupled to the Rif, who was coupled to Rabbeinu Hananel learning Pshat. We'll often find that Pshat Gemara, the Rif, when he has a unique Pshat, a lot of times will be connected to where Rabbeinu Hananel learned Pshat in the Gemara. So here, it works out quite beautifully. As we're going to develop, there's a fascinating Chumrah in the Yerushalmi, and that Chumrah of the Yerushalmi is a Chumrah that the Ramah quotes, and it could very well be that it's going to be dependent on this machlokas between Rabbeinu Hananel and Rashi, as we'll develop the siyata of the Shemaya shortly. Yes?
Rabbeinu Hananel writes explicitly that they're all separating themselves from Ocha.
Yes, but when Rabbeinu Hananel defines the differences between the two, this is how he defines the difference between Zohar and Bar. I don't think that Rabbeinu Hananel was saying that the Isser is only when you do psalas and Ocha. We have to. We'll try to pound that out. Okay. Ah, kulamu ravin. In all of those cases. Right. It's a nice kasha. Well, I think it might be answerable. I'll try to find that akron that makes the point. Either way, we're going to see Rishami that says that. Whether that's correct in Rabbeinu Hananel, in other words, is that Shitas Rabbeinu Hananel, or is that what emerges according to Rabbeinu Hananel's difference between Zorah, Borah, and Merakli? So that's a distinction between Rashi and Rabbeinu Hananel. There might be room to go so far as the Shitas Rishami. I thought that there are some who suggest that. I'll try to find who says it. In Sim and Shin Yutes, which are the halachas of Borer, the Ramah concludes with the following halacha. A rokek beruach the Shabbos, if someone spits into the wind on Shabbos, beruach mefazer a rok chayim mishum zorah, and the wind separates the spit, so then, in such a case, one is going to be chayim for zorah. So this would be a nafkamina between those who say that zorah requires solas, and those who say it does not. Because at the end of the day, here you have an interesting action that's taking place. You're having an action in which the wind is separating between that which is either ostensibly ochel or psolas, however you define it as ochel and psolas, but it's ostensibly separating between them. Nevertheless, it's an iser of zorah. This is the Minchas Chinuch and the Nishmas Adam's point. They both point out that lechura, this is not consistent with the way the Bavli had understood the Isser of Borer. Take a look. Minchas Chinuch crunches it a little bit more than Nishmas Adam in Oz Beis and Hazora, Vav Beis. I am B'Shulchan Aruch, quoting the Ramah. U'Bechai Adam, Nishmas Adam, Hisigazah, did the Gemara Didam Maksha, Hainu Zora, Hainu Borer. Mevurer, Dezel Lo Havei Zora. that it's not considered Zorah. The Zorah ain't a rak b'mafrish psalos me'ochel. The Gemara said Zorah and Borer are the same thing. In what way are Zorah and Borer the same thing in the Havim in the Gemara, in the question of Gemara? Because you're removing psalos. So obviously, the Yerushalmi disagrees. If you take a look, he points out that the Yerushalmi is l'shitaso, that the Yerushalmi does learn that Zorah is not similar to Borer, that the Nishmas Adam quotes Yerushalmi, that Yerushalmi does not put Zorah in the list with Borer Merakeh, that the Yerushalmi actually says Mishamer is the same thing as Borer Merakeh. So someone, the Nishmas Adam wants to suggest that this is going to be a machlokis between Bavli and Yerushalmi. In fact, this is going to be a two interesting topics to play off of each other. The Nishmas Adam was a big machmir when it came to Tzviya Ba'ochlin. Rav Nevensal even took it a step further. Here, the Nishmas Adam is a big makel. Nishmas Adam says that at the end of the day, we paskin like the Bavli, we don't paskin like the Yerushalmi, and therefore there's a lot of room to be makel. And he tries to prove it from a Magen Avram. If you take a look at the end of Os Aleph, he points out that the Magen Avram says on Pesach, the halacha is, it's really a Gemara, that the Gemara says that if you have chametz on Pesach, the Shita of the Rabbanan, this Chayodim is actually in a strange place in the booklet, it's right after Rabbi Riviat, it got stuck in between two photocopies of Rabbi Riviat. At the end of Os Aleph, so it's in between the two pages from Rabbi Riviat, there he quotes the Magen Avram, based on Gemara. The Gemara says, Zorah v'sol l'ruach, that one is allowed to take bread and get rid of it by throwing it to the wind. Wait a second. L'chura, the Gemara was also talking about Yom Tov itself, because the mitzvah of Biur Chametz also applies on Chametz. So from that Magen Avram, who paskins that way, it would seem that we're not choshesh, that Zorah applies where you don't have souls. Nevertheless, you do have this halacha in Shulchan Aruch, Harokek Beruach B'Shabbos, one is going to be Chayv. L'niyaz Daiti, it's difficult to just push away when you have a halacha mafurish in Shulchan Aruch Barama, L'shitasi. I think that just to push away to say, ain't Sviya Ba'ot, to say that when it comes to Sviya, that even though it's Derech Lichluch, we saw that there were some who say that Shulchan Aruch is wrong, and that you could be Mekel the Ratvaz and the Chacham Svi. I would be very slow to push that away from Shulchan Aruch. It comes out last start, as well as over here in the Ramah. At the end of the day, it could be for Sfaradim. Chacham Avadia is very mekel in Chazon Avadia Chelik Dalet. He's very mekel la halacha. But at the end of the day, for Ashkenazim, the Ramah quotes this. So clearly, the Ramah is choshesh for this day, and it would be hard to machavek mefurisha halachos in Shulchan Aruch, even though there are giants that do. They have the right to do it. In terms of our own hanhaga, so you could limit it, you could say it doesn't apply to napkins, there are enough sardim lahakel, l'chulei l'chulei, but to say that it doesn't exist, la'alacha, that's a lot harder to argue. So therefore you have this Yerushalmi that seems to be expanding the Yisra of Zorah, not only when it comes to solos and ochel, but even when you have an ochel. Now, Rabbi Akiva Eger has a famous tshuva, seminal tshuva. I didn't photocopy it, but it's kedai to look in the tshuva. The Be'er Halacha quotes it in the Ramaskal Mephazer and Simin Chav. Rabbi Akiva Eger says he was walking down the street and he encountered Zeresh. How did he encounter Zeresh? He encountered somebody who was pouring water outside of their window, and he said, I began to think of whether this is Rabbi Akiva Eger's Newton's apple. Rabbi Akiva Eger said, when he saw the water coming down, he began to, I would imagine, he stepped out of the way, and then he began to think whether this person's going to be over the Yisr of Zorah in such a case, by pouring out the water. Rabbi Akiva Eger himself is one of those who's makel against the Stimas HaRamah. He holds that the Pashtus is that the Yisr of Zorah is only when you have Psolas. If you don't have a psolas, it's not going to apply. And Rabbi Akiva Eger has another reason to be makel. And he says, even if the Ramah is right, that the Yerushalmi would say that it is usur, based on Yerushalmi, the Yerushalmi says it's usur, it only applies to a davar she gidulo v'karka. Because we learned when it came to dash, that the Yisra of dash is only by gidulo v'karka. That's how we got the heter of sleek sensations and the baby wipes. But so too, over here, when it comes to Zorah, it will only apply to a davar b'gidulei karka. He also points out a brilliant shot of the Alfei Menashe, that the Alfei Menashe suggests that the Yerushalmi is Nachmer. It can't be all these achronim hold, it can't be zaras only when there's solas. So that's what now Rav and Sinan and I are arguing about. Could there be a rishon that says that that would be without solas? Even I thought I had a Rabbeinu Chananel. Maybe I don't. But they say no. It can't be that there's no solas. Either Yerushalmi was machmir. So they say the Yerushalmi was machmir on hotzah or mavir dalad amos. That the Yerushalmi never said it's asr al zorah. The Yerushalmi just says you're not allowed to spit to the wind. So the Be'er Halacha says the reason why it's asr is al hotzah. So that's going to help. What's it going to help for? Because halacha lemaisa, you have these diunim in regards to sprays on Shabbos. Sprays is that going to be subject to the isser of zorah? So here, there are those who say that it will only apply inside of the house. It's only in regards to hotzah or mavir dalad amos. But otherwise, halacha is that there will be room to be mingled. But another snif lahakel would also be to say like Rabbi Kiva Eger, and that is it will only apply to those things that are gedulei karka versus things that are not gedulei karka, which means that water is not gedulei karka, and the halacha would be that if it's a water-based item, so then such a spray is not going to be problematic. This is Rabbi Ribiat has a long arichus in regards to the sprays. We're going to see in a moment Rabbi Ribiat's approach. And Rabbi Ribiat's basic mahalach is that that sprays can be an issue. I don't remember if, does anybody here remember? I don't know if Rabbi Ribiat makes a big deal of this Rabbi Kiva Eger, that would be a tzad lahakka. We'll discuss shortly. But Rav Nevinzal Shlita, who is relatively machmir on the issue of Zora, even with a non solas, he himself in his Aharos, for those of you who have it, you can take a look. Dibra Maskel Haroke. So he said, Rav Nevinzal says as follows: Ugabi Shimush Bitarsisin. If you have those sprays, in Einam Megidule Karka, Yesh Lismoch Al Dibra Rabbi Kiveger. You could rely on Rabbi Kiveger. And then he points out, HaMishneh Brura Atzmo Nota Lifsok Velo Karama. That the Mishneh Brura himself is nota against the Ramah. That's what, if you take a look, he says as follows. Take a look at the Mishneh Brura Sifkot Nisan of Zayin. V'lo ra'inu mishachosh yesh lozeh. People aren't careful about not spitting to the wind on Shabbos. Kiva deinu miskagin l'kach. V'kol shekein de'ein zeh derav zorah. And also it's not considered derav zorah. This is Rabbi Kiva Eger. Yet the Ramah was machmir in this regard. So Rav Nevinzal's take on it is, this is a collector's item, another collector's item. Today we have two instances where the Mishneh Brura tends to be, not often will you find this, where the Mishneh Brura tends to be more makel than the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch. We have the Mishneh Brura being more makel in regards to the hands that are stained, and we have the Mishneh Brura being more makel when it comes to the case of spinning to the wind. Rav Nevinzal himself is choshesh for the Ramah, but he says that you could rely on Rabbi Kiva Eger. At the end of the day, Rabbi Kiva Eger is enough to rely on, that if it's gedulei karka, so then in such a case one has to be machmir. If it's not gedulei karka, then one would be able to be makel. Therefore, what comes out is as follows. There are sprays. Somebody could do some research. I don't know what the primary base of... Now they have what's put on the skin, sun protector. That I don't know if the base of it is from gedulei karka. A lot of it's made out of plants and the cream that comes out of plants. So if it's a gedulei karka base, so then it could very well be that there is room to be machmir. If it's a water base, so in such a case one could be makel. Therefore, deodorants and the like, which are primarily a water base and primarily most of the synthetic materials altogether, so then in such a case one would be able to be makel. Similarly, an air diffuser that is sprayed into the air, if it's gedulei karka, that's the heter Rav Nevinzal uses. We're going to see that Rav Ribiat has another heter. I don't recall if Rav Ribiat uses the gedulei karka heter. We're going to see he gets very complicated in terms of different sprays. He's mechalik between different types of sprays, but Rav Nevinzal's chiluk is what's gedulei karka is going to be aser, what's not gedulei karka is going to be mutter. It would be interesting in terms of sunblock, how it's made, whether the majority, a significant base is going to be gedulei karka, then l'chum Rav Nevinzal will come out l'chum of being choshesh for this Yerushalmi. Now if you take a look at Rabbi Ribiat in the booklet, Rabbi Ribiat, this is Kedarko Bekodesh, Rabbi Rivia is fantastic in terms of doing research in terms of the Metzius of many things. He bases himself on a tshuva from Rav Moshe, a heter that Rav Levin Sal Shlita does not go with Lechat Tzila, even though Rav Moshe seems to have this heter. And that is, Rav Moshe says that aerosol cans are mutter. In other words, even if you're not going to go with Rabbi Kiva Eger, that we said you could use, Rav Moshe says aerosol cans are not going to be subject even according to Yerushalmi. Why? A brilliant ha'ara that Rav Moshe makes, and that Rabbi Rubiat runs with. And that is the aerosol cans, the pressure that comes out is that causes the spray to diffuse is actually a pressure from the can itself. Now here, the Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Samach Amud Aleph, is very, very important. That's what we're going to do in our Iyun Shir. It's a very geshmak sugya, very, very beautiful sugya. The Gemara in Bava Kama on Samach Amud Aleph discusses that the Isra of Zora is unique in that it's Zora V'ruach Mesayata, that you throw it up to the wind and the wind helps you. So Ramesh understood that Zora V'ruach Mesayata means that the Isra of Zora is when you co-opt the wind. If, however, the pressure that's diffusing it throughout the air is not the wind, so then Rav Moshe learns that it's not going to be Zora. So therefore, Rav Moshe says that when you have an aerosol can, what diffuses it throughout the air? Not the wind. What diffuses it is the special makeup of the aerosol can. If you take a look inside, you'll see the inside of what, as many would want us to point out, damages the ozone layer. You'll see exactly the Rabbi Ribiat describes exactly how aerosol can works. And that is, and you have a solution of propellant. I guess that's the devil over here. The solution, the propellant that's inside of it. And the propellant is what pushes it out. And therefore, the Zora, the Isra of Zora, is not taking place when you have that instance, because what spreads it throughout the wind is not what the Gemara described of Zore V'ruach Mesayato. Therefore, Rabbi Ribiak goes on and begins a whole longus in terms of different types of cans. He said different types of sprayers. He says when it comes to Ventra tube sprays, there it's actually created by a wind force. And Rabbi Ribiat argues a faucet spray is not created by a wind force. This will be an interesting question. What about giving the kid shilas of rechitza and also shilas of kids playing on the lawn? But let's say in the world of theory you had no other shila, but you were spraying a hose on children on Shabbos and was spraying out into the air. So Rabbi Ribiat says no problem, because over there, in such a case, it's not created by wind force, but rather it's created by water pressure. The water pressure itself is what creates the force. In contrast, he says, a Ventra tube, so there, you take a look, he describes the physics of it, there the pressure is created by wind inside the tube, since it's created by pressure inside the wind of the tube, so then that's similar to Zora V'ruach Mesayato. Ad kan, divrei Rabbi Ribiat in regards to these shilas. At the end of the day, Lamia's Daiti, if you have the Heter Gedula Karka, that's going to solve many of the things as well, and water already Rabbi Kiva Eger took care of. Rav Nevin Sal Shlita actually disagrees with the whole premise. He says that Zora V'ruach Mesayato is not a T'nai in Zora. He says that Zora V'ruach Mesayato, Ruach Mesayato is a Chidush, that even though it's Ruach Mesayato, nevertheless, that's going to be considered Zora. And therefore, you don't need the wind to separate it to have the Isser of Zora. Rav Meshach Zatzal assumed that what you need the wind to create the diffusion. And if you don't have the wind, you're not going to have the Isser. Rav Nevin Zal says that according to the Yerushalmi, any time you spread something out in the air, by definition you have a shadow of Zora. So what's his heter? His heter is only going to be Gedula Karka. And therefore, there's not going to be a difference of whether it's an aerosol can or this type of can or that type of can. And that would mean then throwing water to the wind would have been a shaila, like Rabbi Kiva Eger raises. Nevertheless, the halacha is that one would be permissible based on the concept of to do like karka. Yes, Rabbi Ben Sion.
Just on Rabbi Nevin Sal Shita, Moshe, from the Gemara in Bava Kama, for sure sounds like that. Because the Gemara is going to contrast it to to Nezikin. The Gemara's whole point is that it's a grumman, it's still chayv in the Talmud de Aruah.
Okay, you have to stick around for the Iyun Shir if you want to get to the bottom of that. And I can't promise we'll get to the bottom of that. But
wouldn't the concept that Benjamin Picha is an Osir be a big rat or a Because Korinth is.
But which. Neficha by Zoreb.
Neficha by Pez is Osir.
Right.
But that's not. Is that Ruan?
No. So that would be. Well, you could look at it in two ways. Fascinating question. It's a ruach that you expelled from your mouth, but now it's in the ruach. Now it's in the air. Fascinating question. How would you look at that? What's that? No, he's not talking about the Ramah. He's talking. We did see that there are shitas that say that to blow is also. That's a riot. In terms of bottom line, as far as the standard psak, the Aruch HaShabbos, the way the Aruch HaShabbos paskins, let's just take a look. Even a Talmud of a Rebbe, if someone loves his Rebbe, it's important not just to say over the Rebbe's Torah, but also to say over what is written in the standard svarim. The Aruch HaShabbos has a very nice summary on page Kuf Pei Vav. Yesh me'apos m'shekos v'de in l'fazot v'ram ha'idei ruach g'on shirokei k'ruach ach l'maisa he'kelu achronim l'zaris chametz l'ruach. What comes out is the Aruch HaShabbos is quite lenient. Based on the fact that in Hilchos Chametz we see that it's mutter, the he paskins, but like the most lenient position that we saw, the Minchas Chinuch and the Nishmas Adam, who say that at the end of the day, if there's no psolas, it's going to be mutter, which is the farish against the Yerushalmi. That's how we come out. And all right, in Hilchos Pesach, we have that. Then he points out, like Rabbi Kiva Eger, mutter l'shvuch mayim la'avir, asher ruach nefaz rasam, and then he, based on this, he quotes from Rav Yashiv, that's no problem to use a ventilator on Shabbos. That on Shabbos, if one is going to use, oh, that's not the right word. What's the word that's used in verb? I'm sorry? Humidifier, thank you. So use a humidifier on Shabbos, that quotes from Rav Yashiv, that that's not going to be a problem. So Rav Yashiv could have a lot of different reasons to be made. Well, number one, you have Rabbi Kiva Eger. Number two, you have the fact that it could be the one passing like the Yerushalmi. Number three is how exactly does the humidifier work in terms of spreading it out? Where's the pressure coming from? If the pressure is not coming, is coming like the way aerosol can works, there's also room to be makel. At the end of the day, bottom line is that Rabbi Yashu said that a humidifier could be used as well. There's no machlokas over here between Rabbi Yashu and Rabbi Nevensal, because we saw that if it's not going to be like karka, then Rabbi Nevensal is also makel from Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, and that is the bottom line. Okay, v'siyata d'shmaya, we finished the siman of dash, and we did the malach of zoreh. We finished Shin Yud Tes. We did the last line of Shin Yud Tes, and now we begin v'siyata d'shmaya Shin Yud Tes, and that's the halachas l'borah. Ezer Hashem will do that on Thursday. Yes. Oh, in terms of the next shir, so what we're going to be doing is this sugya of zoreh ruach m'siyato. Some fascinating, it won't be long, but you'll see that there's fascinating meaning in regards to using machines today for malacha. That's one. And number two also is defining what is a malacha zora. So those are the two issues. The machlok, the big machlok is apostim. Whether you and a machine do a malacha today, does that qualify as a malacha zora? It starts with the Rishonim on that subject. Yeah.